Welcome back to the Charlotte Angel Connection. For today's call, we are happy to continue our three-part series on the development of a startup with Dan DeQuisto, co-founder of 2U Laundry. 2U Laundry is a tech-enabled laundry and dry cleaning delivery service. They are guided by an unwavering commitment to the perfect customer experience and an obsessive passion for quality. 2U Laundry operates with a simple goal in mind to help members maximize every moment of every day. Dan leads 2U Laundry's growth and acquisition. Thanks so much for joining us today, Dan.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
So I've got a bunch of things that I want to cover for the audience today in this call. So let's go ahead and dive right in. As you know, we started this off with the previous recording being with Rami from Honeyfi and his development from concept to beta, which is where they were when we talked with them. So this continues that, right? Y'all just recently raised a round, a seed round.
Yep.
Just to hear about that. So before we do, tell us about 2U Laundry. What problem are you solving for your customers?
Yeah, absolutely. So 2U Laundry, I mean, you break us down. We're a laundry and dry cleaning pickup and delivery service that's truly focused on providing an exceptional customer experience and really giving back the time that people spend on these mundane tasks of going to the dry cleaners when they're closed or too early in the morning, as well as doing the most hated household chore in the country, which is laundry. It's time-consuming. People are doing it every single day, busy families to young professionals. We're truly giving them their time back. So we're really, truly focused on the customer experience and building that into an industry that's very old, outdated, and providing that that exceptional value.
Do you have a co-founder? And if so, how much does that help your development as a company and as a leader of the company?
Great question. So I can't take credit for the idea. Alex is Alex Smirzniak. He's my best friend from back home. We've known each other for over 15 years. We grew up together in a small town outside of Minneapolis. Best friends again, as I mentioned, and once we graduated high school, he went to Wake Forest University. So we split, separated, parted ways, and at his time, adventure at Wake Forest, had an opportunity to own a similar business that was tailored to college students. He grew to be a very successful company. He exited, and he ultimately came here to Charlotte with the goal in mind to be an entrepreneur again one day and own a business. That's where we kind of collaborated and got together about a year ago. He finally convinced me to quit my job, basically pack my car and move 20 straight hours to Charlotte, and I did just that. I packed my car, didn't look back. I brought our other best friend with me, Turner, who's basically our third wingman here, runs our operations. So really when we first started, it was a scary move, but being in it with somebody else makes it 10 times better. And a lot of people think bringing your best friends together on a business venture is, scary and and we proved that wrong. I mean, we live together, we work together, we're together 24/7, and nothing's gone wrong since, knock on wood. We butt heads a few times, but it's for the good. I mean, Alex and I both have very different skill sets, which brings us together as a really strong, cohesive team, and we keep each other accountable and push each other forward when the times are tough. So having the second co-founder really made this journey better, and having the fact that he had a previous experience in a similar laundry company during school really excelled us forward at the start.
So successful business at Wake Forest, sold it. Why Charlotte? Why not go back home?
Yeah, great question. Everyone asks us that. So Alex had an opportunity to work for Ernst & Young in Charlotte. He got a job offer straight out of school. So he was here. He was building his life here. He bought a condo with the money that he made at Wake Forest. So he was establishing his life here. And another reason for me to, I guess, pack everything up and come straight to Charlotte was the weather in Minnesota. Nobody wants to be in the winter. Just starting fresh. Charlotte is we really broke down Charlotte and asked ourselves the same thing, why Charlotte? But Charlotte is one of those tier two markets that's one of the fastest growing cities in the country. If we don't want to be focused on these tier one markets like San Francisco or New York or LA or Chicago, if we can make this thing work in Charlotte, we can make this thing work in about 80% of the other country that's very similar to Charlotte. So we wanted to challenge ourselves up front. Charlotte is a very spread out city, and again, if we can make this thing work and build it here in Charlotte, build this playbook, we can make this thing successful nationwide.
Yeah, perfect. So speaking of make it successful, part of a successful business is those you surround yourself with. And looking at your board of directors, it's pretty impressive. How did you convince all of them to serve as advisors for Alex and you?
Yep, this is one of my favorite questions because, again, Alex and I were first-time founders, per se, and, I mean, we're young. We're 24 years old. We're humble. We're not these guys who think we have Stanford degrees and we know all, end all, be all. We're not that. So we knew initially that we wanted to surround ourselves with people who have been successful, who have been through the pains, who we can use as a sounding board. And we knew that this would be something that we wanted to build early on. So we got together. We did a ton of research. I mean, the first thing I did when I moved to Charlotte was I got involved at Packard Place, which my goal was to somehow get a meeting with Dan Roselli and talk about our venture and how we could make it successful, and basically start the conversation of getting him behind our opportunity here. So that was the big thing. We just wanted to surround ourselves with the right people, and we found those people early on. And honestly, it was a hustling mode. We got in. We somehow guessed their emails. We sent them emails. We tried meeting other people who knew who they were. And it took us 8 to 10 different times. Garth Moulton, I think Alex emailed him 10 times before he finally responded, and his response was, "Alex, I appreciate the following up and the persistency. Let's talk. You got 15 minutes of my time." And we took those 15 minutes and we made it as valuable as we could, and we sold them on the idea of just helping us out a few hours per month, and we wanted to leverage their knowledge and their success to ultimately push us forward every single day. So that's something I look back on constantly, and we continue to surround ourselves with more and more successful people here in all different areas. So I definitely recommend reaching out, finding who you think would be an asset to helping you grow. It's not somebody who's going to sit there and tell you how to build your website or how to do a marketing plan or how to get more customers, but you can bounce ideas off them, and they're going to tell you how they feel about it, which you take it with a grain of salt, but their advice is very valuable. And I think we do really well with surrounding ourselves with those people.
Yeah, no, again, looking at the list, I'd be hard-pressed to find out that you don't benefit a lot from it.
Yep.
So let's talk a little bit about the development of the company. So from a technology perspective, where did you start off? Basically an app?
No, so it was really interesting. We never wanted to do an app. We thought people were getting too caught up in this app frenzy of a world and this Uber model, and we just didn't want to be compared to Uber. We were providing a subscription-based service that would allow people to select packages and then communicate with us through text message. So we've gone all in on SMS and text message since the beginning, and it was probably the best decision we ever made. The funny thing is how this whole thing started, which is basically how I got involved. Alex knew I had a sales and marketing background. He asked me to help build a website. I was still in Minneapolis at this time, and I just got the ground running. I took on a project, and it was probably the funnest thing I've ever worked on. The other funny thing is, Alex, you look at all these companies like Twitter and Facebook and these unicorns that all their founders somehow have a technical background. And Alex has a finance and operations background, and I have a sales and marketing background. How the hell do we build a website?
I don't know.
So I mean, Yeah, I immediately got on WordPress. I Googled how do you build a website, got on WordPress, found a theme, and then I had no idea how to customize it. So I got advice. Yeah.
Question, then. Do you remember what that theme was, just out of curiosity? Do you remember?
I'm pretty sure if it's pronounced correctly, Serif.
Okay, fair enough.
Serif. Okay. I could find it, but it was clean, it was modern, something that it looked easy to use, so I selected it. I didn't spend a lot of time with that. But the best thing we found early on was a developer overseas on Upwork.com. We were paying him like $8 an hour, and he would literally change his week schedule to work on this website with us. So I was spending 40 hours a week with him before we even launched the website to customize it, get it how we want it to look. And looking back on that, it's just crazy. We got that going, and it brought us to around April, so it got us about 4 months in. And then we found a miracle I don't know if you're familiar with him, but Caleb Lamb. We connected with Dan Roselli. He introduced us to Caleb, who has a great background in tech and development and engineering. So we tried to convince Caleb to come on board with us as an advisor and consultant type, but he attached on. He loved the idea we were doing, and he wanted to get involved. So we took full advantage of that and brought Caleb on full-time in April, and it's the best thing I think that's happened to this company. He not only acts as a technical co-founder and the technical veteran, but he's been through this startup world 3-4 times with other companies he's been the CEO and co-founder of, and he just has the strategy, he has the experience, he really pushes us forward, and I don't think we would be anywhere we are today without Caleb.
So your initial strategy was, from a technology perspective, was outsourced overseas. You failed on that, you now have one developer in Charlotte, or do you have a couple of different people working, or what's the outsource versus insource ratio these days? Or in-house?
Yep. So we're about 66% in-house and the rest outsourced. So Caleb manages our development.
Okay.
We just recently brought on an internal developer. So we have them in-house now.
Real quick, Dan, did you find that talent in Charlotte, or did you have to go elsewhere to the in-house developer?
So there actually is more talent than we thought here in development. There's a lot of these schools popping up, like Tech Talent South and the Iron Yard, but we didn't find them from there. UNCC has a Master's of Computer Science program, and I think we had, over 15 applicants apply from that program. I wanted to get involved, so we found a strong pool in the UNCC master's program there for our internal developer here.
Perfect. So you recently closed a seed round, right? When did you realize you were going to need the money, and what are you going to use it for?
Yeah, so we initially realized we were going to need the money, I would say about May, June-ish, we saw this traction that we just never thought we would get right away. Alex and I were excited about thinking that we could get 200 customers in a year or 8 months, and we're not even a year in, and we're over 1,200 customers or users on the platform. And so we saw the growth, and we wanted to move quickly. We knew this was going to be a land grab. We saw a bunch of other companies trying to test this app and outsourcing once they saw us on the map. So we just knew we wanted to go fast, and Caleb helped push us that. He's like, we want to go fast. We're going to need money. We're going to need to hire the right people on the table. We're going to need to move tech and development fast, marketing fast, and we're going to have to figure all this stuff up very quickly. So every company or most companies need capital to do that. So we knew early on that's what we needed, and we sent Alex off packing to raise us some money. So Alex spent basically all of June, July, August, September dialing the same meeting with over hundreds of investors, other founders who have done this before, trying to figure out how you do it, how do you raise money. And I think everybody knows that Charlotte probably has to be one of the hardest cities to raise money in. I think we have some of the most accredited investors per capita in Charlotte, but they're all bankers. They're all very risk-oriented. Yep. It was tough. But we needed the money, to, again, do those things, to move those things fast, hire the right people, move tech, move marketing, and just push everything, 10x, at a speed rate. So, that's really where the money's going and dialing in these operations that, we're seeing as we scale.
So were you able to get any traction in Charlotte from a fundraising, capital raise perspective, or did it all come from outside the Charlotte area?
So we did. So we pitched the Charlotte Angel Fund. I believe it was in July. They initially passed on us, from a group perspective, but, immediately after we left the pitch, we had, I would say, rough estimate, 5 individuals reach out to us directly who said they wanted to get on board right away. So I had those conversations. I believe we ended up, there's 4 individuals from the Charlotte Angel Fund that invested personally. But then the rest has been outside investment. We have another angel investor from Denver, another one from New York, and then, it was led by, an institutional fund out of Raleigh known as Full Tilt Capital.
Okay. How difficult was it to make those connections, or once you started to get a little bit of momentum by talking to different investors, was it them that started putting you in touch with other people they knew? Is that how it worked, Dan?
Yeah, I mean, it was honestly the most frustrating part of building a business. It's a full-time job, and I can't speak to it as much as Alex can, but I mean, I went on all these pitches with him. I think our story and having 2 co-founders building this from the ground up was exciting. So they wanted, really, investors invest in people. So we wanted to prove that initially. And I wouldn't say it was tough getting the conversations. We met the right people. Again, we had a great group of board of advisors who push us and introduce us. So I think it was easy to have the conversations and get the introductions, but just trying to convince people that the laundry industry and what we were doing and our value and the vision was going to be what we thought it was going to be. That's tougher to convince those people. And we're a very manual labor-driven company. A lot of people like to invest in tech. Yeah. Here in, I guess, in the Carolinas, in Raleigh specifically. We had to sell them on the vision, how hard we're working. Really, they were betting on 2 first-time founders to build this thing and investing in Alex and I. So I look at it as a positive push that we are the right people to do this and to make this successful. It was easy to get the conversations, but convincing them to give us $400,000 was obviously pretty tough.
Fair enough. I get that. Well, I'm glad you're able to do it. So shift gears real quick. We were talking a little bit about this before the call. What's your greatest business challenge on a day-to-day basis? What's a day in the life of Dan?
That's a tough question. I mean, my day changes constantly, which is what keeps me motivated and why I love coming into work. I mean, we're up to over 15 employees now, which is exciting. I love coming into work to see that we're building something where other people want to get involved and help make a difference in what we're doing. And my day-to-day stems off of making sure we have this well-oiled machine. I mean, Alex and I have gotten to a point where we're managing, but we're also doing a lot of business development and finding channels to grow. And really, this unique stage we talked with one of our investors last night is we're at this stage now where we've proven the market and we've proven the model, but if now we have some, we're at this fun time where we're invested and we have an opportunity to test a lot of different things and experiment with different channels of growth and really understanding marketing and operations. Where this thing is going to fail, if it does, is the operational piece. Nobody has done what we've done and done it really successfully. So we're obviously up against a tough challenge here with this outsourcing of laundry, wash, dry, fold industry and the operations behind that, all the moving parts. So we're constantly spending day to day on improving those efficiencies. But my main role is marketing, business development, and pushing growth and acquisition. So I'm out meeting a lot of different developers and owners of the multifamily industry, and I'm providing our service at all their communities. We're working on partnerships with other other businesses and small businesses that ultimately our customers are involved with. And then really looking at our digital strategy on Facebook, Yelp, Google AdWords. So there's always something to do on top of just managing your day-to-day people. But Alex and I, we still pick up the phone and we call our current customers and ask them how they're doing, how we can improve, and really this is a customer experience that we're providing, and we want to make sure that that's top-notch no matter how fast or how big we grow.
That's pretty impressive. So does raising money, does it make it easier or does it make it more stressful because now all of a sudden you've got investors?
Yeah, I don't want to say it's easier because then I think you lose your mindset and your motivation. I saw a lot of different successful people over in the Valley area in LA, and one of the biggest things I've learned was constraint equals creativity. And I literally pretend with my marketing spend that we have $1,000 in the bank and we got to squeeze that $1,000. I don't want to act like we have $400,000 in the bank because then we're testing a bunch of different things, spending money willy-nilly, and that's not what we want to do, and that's not what we're doing. So I would say it is a little bit more stressful because obviously not having money is stressful. But it allows us to get creative and really understand where we want to test and then really diving in deep on that test to make sure that the data is positive and things are working or it's not. But we're not scared to fail. I think failing is the best thing in a transactional sense where testing something new and failing at it is good because now I know what doesn't work and what not to do anymore. So we're constantly testing different things marketing wise and constantly failing, but then really understanding what's going to work. So overall, very stressful.
So, growth eventually takes you outside of Charlotte. Does that coincide with another, are y'all already looking at another investment round, or does that coincide with expansion outside of Charlotte, or are the two independent of each other?
Yeah, so it's, they're representative of each other. They're both on, the roadmap. We know where to get to a point. We know that this thing is basically a big math problem. So, the sooner we run out of money, the sooner we're going to have to raise more money. But we know what our runway is and what's going to get us to the next level. Our goal here in Charlotte is to really just dial it in, understand what works marketing wise, what's going to scale, and then make sure that our operations are, very efficient and, just that our business model is completely sound and it's a well-oiled machine to this playbook. We can basically pick it up and move it to different markets. HQ will always be in Charlotte. This is where we'll have the most people, and then we're going to launch different markets very quickly with the next round of funding, which probably be in 10 to 12 months.
Okay.
The next market, I mean, you can, as mentioned before, it's getting a footprint in the Southeast. Charlotte's our pilot city, and I think it just makes sense to go to a Raleigh or a Nashville or in Atlanta next, but I think that can constantly change as we understand our demographic and marketing and density.
Yeah, no, definitely. So real quick, before I forget, as we start to wrap up, where can people sign up? What services do you provide for them?
Yeah, so visit our website, 2ulaundry.com. That's the number 2, the letter U, laundry.com. We're always looking for feedback on the site and the user experience, so please provide that. Send us an email, shoot us a text. You can ask us questions via text and on pricing and services as well. But we'll basically pick up your laundry, dry cleaning, shoe shine, shoe repair, alterations from right outside your door, apartment, or office, and we'll bring them back the next day, and we'll provide an exceptional customer experience. I can promise you that.
Fair enough. I've definitely heard that's the case. So one last question. I'll put you on the spot with this one. What do you have to say to the Charlotte Angel community about the startup community in Charlotte as well? So I mean, obviously two independent with obvious cross-section. So as a startup founder, what do you have to say to the investor community?
That is a tough one. I think we have the right people here, and we've spoken with a lot of them. We have a lot of pieces to the puzzle. We just got to put the puzzle together and really create this hub of entrepreneurship here in Charlotte, which is going to only organically grow the startup community. We need a leader. We need somebody who obviously has the capital, the investment, or the backing of the city or the chamber to come in and truly back this thing and build a strategy around getting more companies here. It does suck to see companies that maybe not necessarily are startups, but like the PayPal thing leaving Charlotte. I think that ultimately helps build the community. We just need somebody to step up and lead it. And I want to get to that point. I want to, I mean, Charlotte is at my grassroots, but I feel like it is now. And this is where I started my entrepreneurship journey. And I want to only help build it from the ground up. And Alex and I can both speak for that as well. So we know how tough the resources are here. But I think the right people are here to make it happen. It's just having somebody step up and do just that, make it happen.
I have no question if and when you do, you'll help it, given y'all's passion that y'all have shown with 2U Laundry up to this point in time. It's only a matter of time. So that's, you know, again, I thought, you know, great kind of back and forth, really enjoyed the discussion. Can't thank you enough. I know, as you said earlier, you've got a gazillion things going on right now. So, you know, thanks for taking time out of your day, and thanks for joining us on today's podcast.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. I love these things, and I think everybody can learn. And, again, I'm not some super successful co-founder, but we're just hardworking and trying to make things happen.
Well, can we hold you down to doing it again at some point in the next 6 or 8 months to get an update?
Absolutely.
All right. Well, thanks so much, Dan. I appreciate it. Have a good rest of your day.
Yep, you too, Ryan. Thank you.
Thanks.
Man, that was a great call with Dan, wasn't it? His energy is one of the reasons I certainly love being part of the startup community here in Charlotte. So good call for today. As we've announced in the past, we've got a follow-up phone call or follow-up session, the end part of our three-part series with Rob Cummings from DealCloud next week. Should be really exciting. Again, we've gone through first stage, which was Rami last week with Honeyfi, which they are just launching their kind of beta product. This week was with Dan, obviously, with their seed round, and then Rob and DealCloud just wrapped up a $5.3 million Series B round last December. So third part of the series should be awesome. Look forward to having you next week, and we will see you then. William Bissett is an investment advisor representative with Seacrest Blakey & Associates, a registered investment advisor. Opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of Seacrest Blakey & Associates. The topics discussed and opinions given are not intended to address the specific needs of any listener. Seacrest Blakey & Associates also does not offer legal or tax advice. Listeners are encouraged to discuss their financial needs with the appropriate professional regarding your individual circumstance. Investments herein described may be speculative and may involve a substantial risk of loss. Interest may be offered only to persons who qualify as accredited investors under the Securities Act and a qualified purchaser as defined in Section 2A, 51A under the Company Act, or an eligible employee of the management company. There generally is no public market for the interest. Prospective investors should particularly note that many factors affect performance, including changes in market conditions and interest rates, and other economic, political, or financial developments. Past performance is not and should not be construed as indicative of future results.